everything, of which that financial contribution is just one small part. So I know we do this every week, we take up an offering, but can we say that greater than that offering this morning, we're giving something much more? We're giving our whole selves to Him as living worship, as a living sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So we're halfway through Romans in our study. The first eight chapters we dealt with our position in the gospel. This next part is a bit more practical. And we see it's most important that the author stops here and says, let's not forget all these good things we've been talking about. Let's stop a moment and take a review. Take a backwards look on all that we've come through. I mean, in life, it's a good thing to do occasionally. Do you ever stop and just look back a little bit? And it's amazing. Doesn't matter if it's 15 years, 20 years, or 60 years. Time has gone so quickly when you look back. So we should never stop looking back. We should not cease remembering what God has done in our lives. We should not ever forget what He's brought us through. And even some of the things that at the time were so discouraging and so debilitating. It's a good thing every now and then to stop, look back and see, like that song used to say, look what the Lord has done. Remember that? Look at what the Lord has done. Remember what He's done. So as Paul gets into chapter 12, the first thing he wants to do is remind them that it's in view of what's just taken place. And can I have verse 1, Andrew, please? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And it's those living sacrifices that He made to be holy and pleasing. So all we're doing is we're returning what He's already made holy and pleasing. These people that stood up here this morning, when they came and said, Jesus, I want you to be the center of my life, a miracle takes place. Based on what Jesus did for them, they are made holy and pleasing. Now, they get to go out here and still be holy and pleasing. I forgot to welcome a very, very important person here this morning who has brought me a lot of pleasing, a lot of pleasure. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about. Before your kids do anything right or wrong, before they do anything and achieve something in life, they're pleasing to you just because they are your children. And that's how the Father feels about you. And I see Rain and Louise standing at the back there with pleasing little Zoe. Is this her first time in church? Is she sleeping? We don't want to disturb her. But she's too beautiful. And she's pleasing just because she is. She, you know the word holy, I know in religious circles has become, it means this kind of out of touch, out of reality, distant concept. But really, the word holy meant to be put apart. It means to be separated. The tribe of Levi was separated, and it uses the word made holy. It's when you put something aside for noble use, it's made holy. And this is what happened in your life and in my life. When God did a miracle in us, and our value to Him now is determined based on our being sons and daughters of the Most High God. So He says here, as you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, like that little boy who stood in that plate and said, this is what it means to surrender my life to Jesus. All of me belongs to you, holy and pleasing. And this is your proper worship. Can we have that verse up now, Andrew? Is it available? Is the Bible working? Who's got their Bibles here this morning? Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, looking back at all he's done for us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is how you worship him. You want to be a worshiper? By all means, come along on Sunday morning and sing your heart out. But that alone isn't what it means to be a worshiper. That's the act of worshiping, and it's a good one. But there's something much more that God is seeking. When Jesus said he's seeking for true worshipers in spirit and in truth, who come and offer themselves up as not the Old Testament sacrifices that were given by somebody onto the altar. Old Testament sacrifices were dead sacrifices, burnt as offerings. New Testament offerings, it's like the discussion between the chicken and the pig. And the chicken says, every month I've got to give up my offering to the farmer. And the pig said, stop complaining. To give eggs is one thing, to give bacon is something completely different. To be a living sacrifice means it's not just something I'm giving. It's not something I'm bringing. It means something I am. I am a living worshiper. My time, my talent, my treasure, everything now belongs to him because I need to remember his mercies. I need to remember what he's done for me. And he's tying up those two concepts. Because he's so concerned if they don't get this, they're going to just get sucked back into the world system again. They're just going to get sucked back into the sense realm of taste, touch, smell, see, get up, go to work, process food, sleep, wake up, go to work, process, sleep. Back squashed into a small little world of what's for me, mine, what do I own, where am I going, who are my interests, what are my hobbies, just a small little egocentric, self-occupied, selfish little world when there's so much more. And he warns them, and he goes into verse 2 and he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And we looked a little bit last week about what that mind is. It's not just the thinking computer, but it's that part of us that at a subconscious level is where we hold our beliefs, whether it's right or wrong, they are beliefs, our attitudes, whether they're positive or negative, it's our attitudes, our values, what we prioritize in life over other things, our patterns of response, and all those things are lying at a subconscious level that have been ingrained through family and upbringing and culture and all those things. And if they don't get panel beated into gospel shape, they are going to limit the effectiveness of his kingdom flowing through my life for the sake of others. And that's what he's about to get into in the next few chapters, because as wonderful as this gospel is that he's been expounding from 1 to 8, it's not just an independent me about me gospel. It's much bigger than that. It's not just an individual sport, Christianity. It's a participation, adventure. And he wants to make sure that they don't miss it. So I know we went on a little bit last week into these things, and we saw that when these gospel truths, when the mercies of God that we keep in view are continually at work in our values and our beliefs and our attitudes and our habits, when the gospel is continually percolating in my mind, in my soul, it's going to affect everything about how I live and what's valuable and what I believe at a conscious level as well. But let's just finish the verse that says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we're going to know God's will intuitively, it's because the gospel has reshaped our mind, our values, our beliefs. And that's why we might think by just hearing the same gospel mercies and grace over and over and over again, it's pointless just to repeat something I already know. But that isn't the case. Because our stubborn mind needs to be re-panel-beated every time we get into the God's Word, every time we open His Scripture, every time we spend our time in praying, whether it's in the car, in the shower, whenever we're spending time with God, that we need to be declaring the gospel in our lives. I wrote down just five things quickly that maybe summarize this review of looking back and remembering how good grace is in our lives. Some new covenant truths. And I'm not going to have time this morning to unpack them. I'm just going to read them. Five things. I'm going to read them and we're going to close. So, the first one. And I'm going to need you here, Andrew, because new covenant truths that renew our mind. Number one, God is merciful. He promised to make a better covenant with you. In this covenant, He promises to remember your sins no more. Yeah, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for that. And Janet got up here and confirmed that when we were praying. The second thing, God is love. He loved you first. You are His beloved child. Number three, God is faithful. His eyes are fixed on you. He is watching over you to show you His kindness. Number four, God is present. He lives in you by His Spirit. You are His body, the church, here on earth. There's a new temple in town. And it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's a Spirit-infused community of people who are participating with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are enjoying a communion with God that is not discernible to visible eyes. It's something taking place at a mystical, spiritual level, if we can use those words, to try and explain that His body here on earth is where He's indwelling, where He's living. Christianity is not just an individual sport. It's not just for me and about me. Christianity can only be experienced in a community called His body on earth, where He lives by His Spirit. His Spirit is in you, and you are in Him. And there's this symbiotic relationship taking place all the time. Christ in me, and I'm in Christ. The Spirit's in me, I'm in the body where the Spirit is. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. And they are together. And in their union, in their participation, you and I are enjoying the fellowship, the worship. And then finally, I said I wasn't going to preach each point, but God is powerful. In the fullness of time, He will ultimately bring the cosmos into alignment with His eternal purposes. In the end, He wins. And He is still at work through His church on the earth today, speaking out His invitation of reconciliation for people to be reconciled to Him. That message is going out from the church whether we're worshiping, whether we're fellowshipping, whether we're drinking good coffee, whether we're preaching, whether the gifts are in operation, the church is demonstrating to the world that there is a God who is our Father, that there is a God who cares for us, who sent His Son, that the world may put their faith and trust in Him. And at the fullness of time, God is going to wrap everything up and bring it into submission to His eternal purposes. And we'll look back on this little blimp of time, like a little dot on the monitor that comprised all of our what was so important for us and millions of years of earth history. Will just be this little blimp in eternity. Because God is powerful. God is present. God is loving. God is merciful. And this is what the gospel is all about. To say God's not lying. God is true. And as we look back and we review this, allow the message of who He is, the gospel, to renew and transform the inner workings of my spirit, that His kingdom can be demonstrated on earth. That was my introduction. I think I'm going to leave verse 3 to 8 for next week. Let's stand up together. Lord, we thank You for a glorious time here this morning. And it's not over. Because we get to drink good coffee. We get to take our friends home and our families and have a rest on this wonderful day. We get to walk in the goodness of Your gospel. And just a reminder of those who came up for prayer just now, don't run away. They're not going to keep you long. I'm going to ask not more than 5 minutes. If you guys can come now. Terry and the guys praying here this morning. If you can just come and stand maybe on this to the side so folk can just come straight to you. Thanks, Trev. And now, Lord, I just pray for Your blessing and Your peace and Your protection over Your people as they leave this place. And you'll just raise your hands to heaven. I want to pronounce, may the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guard your hearts today. And may the peace of Jesus watch over everything that comes out of your mouth for His glory. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Keith.